Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Always means a lot to have you with us. We are taking you up to 5:45 on G&D. A lot of Commanders news trickling out, but one big juicy meatball as the breaking news of the day. So let's get that right now. The Commanders, according to Nikki Javala of the Washington Post, are releasing defensive end Jamin Davis. She puts this out in a tweet that also lists that the team has cut safety Sheldrick Redwine from the practice squad and has signed a couple players to the practice squad. Sounds like perhaps a roster announcement has come out from the club. But Nikki Javala is the first we've seen here announcing that Jamin Davis, defensive end, former first-round pick, is being released by the Commanders. We'll get you more details as they come. All of our breaking news on the Fan brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. But that is a significant development. I mean, Jamin Davis, if you look at how much he's played of late, has certainly not been a factor at the defensive end position. Danny hasn't been on the field very much at all, but to hear that he's being cut as a former first-round pick in the Rivera era who went in the top 20 after 5 games with this Dan Quinn regime is pretty massive.
Yeah, the team is tweeted out as part of their set of roster moves, so there you go.
So that must be because I saw Nikki's tweet, and I'm going, if you're reporting this, you would source it or you would put it by itself. She's got it just with like 3 or 4 different roster moves. So the team made the announcement and nobody broke it, I guess.
It's what it looks like because it just says, you know, we've made the following roster moves.
Yeah.
Ben Nickel and Michael Strachan and Sheldrick Redwine and Jamin Davis is cut. Whoa, that was a bad, oh, what was that one? So anyway, but to that, so this is a pretty big deal. And here's why. It's not just a guy that's not playing is released by team. Think about what they did when they moved on from Jahan Dotson. Okay, and this is not to impugn Jahan Dotson or run down his character or anything like that, but it basically is at a position that we're not real strong, as evidenced by the fact that we went out and got somebody that was cut at the 11th hour by another team who's now probably our second best receiver, talking about Washington. This is not a position of strength. Now, it turns out it hasn't been needed. They're not desperate for receiver help. They're doing just fine. I was wrong about that. But anyway, the fact that they were willing to let Dotson go kind of showed you we're not real concerned about missing out on him. Go to the defensive end spot. No Dorrance Armstrong, at least for some time. They're thinner on the defensive line. An opportunity was going to be there for Jamin Davis to be part of a rotation opposite Dante Fowler, at least maybe for the short term. There's not a whole lot of defensive end depth right now in Washington. It's Gervonta John-Baptiste working his way back from injury.
He's
Armstrong
IR
as well. Yeah, so there were playing opportunities.
Hurt. Yeah.
There are playing opportunities for him, and they're not concerned about that.
Well, here's your defensive end room. Cleland Farrell starts. Dante Fowler was fantastic last week as the key guy opposite him. And then it's F.A. Obata who plays inside, outside, and Jamin Davis who they just cut. They think so little about how much Jamin Davis can help him that at their low point of depth on the entire season, they are cutting him. Number one, this is a massive referendum once again on Rivera and the Marty Party. That Ron Rivera operation and Marty, the law firm that was the gift that kept on giving, what an absolutely horrific, terrible drafting operation they were. They swung and missed in the biggest at bats in the early part of the draft over and over and over again. And it's shocking that the team stunk when they got their first round picks wrong over and over and over again. And their big free agents that they would spend money on didn't pan out. Of course you're not going to be any good. That's the past. This group, we hoped, would be able to get something out of Jamin Davis. Maybe he's only 25, he's got speed, he's physical. Maybe they can make him better than the last group did. They immediately changed his position. They looked at him and they said,
nope.
You can't play off-ball linebacker for us. And maybe somewhere else he could. Maybe he'll go somewhere and he'll get back to playing on the second level as an off-ball linebacker. But with this group, they said, we got Frankie Louvu, who's better than you. We got Bobby Wagner, who's better than you. They thought Michael Davis, who they brought in to be just a special team or extra linebacker, is going to be better than you. Jordan McGee, our mid-round rookie, will be better than you. We don't need you in the linebacker room, thank you. Go to the defensive end room. That's what he did. And then at defensive end, he made the roster, and I give him credit. He had a pretty good preseason.
Yep.
He needed to have a few flash moments, and Danny, he did. So I fully give him props for the transition, former first-round pick. That can be embarrassing. There could be shame there. I think he did everything he was supposed to, and he seems like a model citizen. He seems like, you know, in the building, he is a guy that is coachable, that is pleasant, that people want to be around. He's been in some trouble at different points, driving fast and getting speeding tickets and, you know, doing some reckless, silly things behind the wheel.
Yeah.
But for the most part, in the building, by all accounts, this is like a really, really good, sharp young man. And who knows? Maybe they feel like nobody will pick him up and they'll get him back to the practice squad. He just seems like the kind of guy I think someone should take a flyer on. He's 6'3", 235. A lot of teams probably had round two, round three grades on him. And maybe you think with a change of scenery, playing linebacker again, maybe it could work out. And I'll root for him, but what a terrible pick that was.
Well, certainly. And I think that goes without saying at this point. So this, I hesitate to speculate wildly. This timing is pretty stunning. It tells me that this isn't, or it leads me to guess and wonder. I guess let me do it this way to try to be fair. And it makes me wonder, is there something else going on? Right? Because we were talking about this. There's no depth. They don't have bodies to play these positions.
Well, either that, which I'm not jumping to that lily pad with you, or they just have seen enough to know he can't help us. Because
right, but
you're not cutting him at a moment of need at that position if you think he can help you.
Clearly. And and that's why I'm kind of going, you know, he can't play 10 plays a game? At this point, again, I'm not questioning them. They have earned the right to not have me bother them with my minor concerns. I learned my lesson post Jahan Dotson here. But I guess what I'm saying is, I wonder if there's some sort of, hey, we need you to do X, Y, Z. That didn't happen. I'm not saying like some sort of off-field impropriety. I mean, I have no idea. But with all the injuries, with everything that's happening, it's not like they just have a bunch of dudes ready and waiting at this point and a bunch of kids coming up from the practice squad that are itching to get you double-digit sacks. They don't have very much there. It tells you, to your point, at a minimum, this guy simply cannot do it. And we did everything we possibly could to try to figure it out, and we're not going to waste our time anymore. We would rather have more Jalen Holmes in the lineup. We'd rather have more, I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone who was on the practice squad who could help him. Andre Jones, we'd rather have him active than Davis at this point, who can run. I mean, just it's fascinating. Again, they've earned the benefit of the doubt as far as I'm concerned with moves like that, and you're 100% right. It's another terrible reminder and indictment on how poor this previous regime was that these guys are digging out of the hole of. But man, oh man, that's pretty stunning.
We are blowing out the Beltway Blitz that was planned here. We'll open up the phones for your reaction. This is an opportunity for you to react now live, only medium where you could do that, to the breaking news, which is fairly significant, I would say. Even though I can't call it stunning, because he truly was one of the last guys on the roster.
Yep.
He was one of the last guys in. He was one of the last guys to get activated on games where he was. He was occasionally below that line of the threshold of being deactivated. Jamin Davis being released by the Commanders, that is according to the team directly, he has been cut. Another indictment on the Rivera era drafts, obviously. His final run here in Washington will go down as having been a part of 5 of the 7 games. Some of that work on special teams, 13 total tackles and 1 tackle for loss. That, by the way, came, I believe, in the first half against Tampa in week 1. If you remember, he made back-to-back plays that were, I thought, were pretty good against the run. But that should have been the writing on the wall. In week 1, he was one of the first guys on the field at defensive end, if we remember. Think about that. Now, Dante Fowler maybe wasn't 100% healthy yet, coming back with some issues, but he got on the field. He was their speed rusher, and he made a couple nice plays against the run. And each week after that, I think week 2 the next week, he was deactive. And we all said, wait, they deactivated him? He's inactive this week after he made a couple plays last week? That told you right then and there, they obviously didn't see the performance like a lot of people did on the outside looking in. But he can't get on the field. He can't play at a time where they've got a bunch of injured defensive ends. What else is there to say?
Not much beyond that. But I don't know. It is pretty stunning. When you think about that, again, I would understand if Armstrong healthy, rolling. Jean-Baptiste healthy, rolling. Fowler has the game he has this past week. You welcome back Obata, who can play multiple spots for you and probably do a couple different things. If you had bodies, I would go, yeah, that's a numbers game, and you lose, dude. You were the ninth guy on that sort of edge group, and that's not including when we line up Luvu out there to blitz or somebody else to kind of do what you do a lot better. But right now, when they're as thin as you could possibly be, it just tells you how little they think at this point. And this is one of those, we are not concerned what happens, right? Knowing we've got a lot to play and there's not a great option that we can just turn to, they remain unconcerned, which tells you a lot.
Not to mention that their seventh-round pick this year, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, had climbed ahead of him on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. I mean, that in and of itself was telling. And that's why I say I don't think anyone should be shocked by this, because he was at the very, very back of the end rotation. It was one of the things you had to look at every week before the game. Let's pull up the inactives. Is Forbes there? Is Davis there? By the way, Emmanuel Forbes headed in the other direction, perhaps. He played in 4 snaps 2 weeks ago. Then he was inactive last week. He played this week, and he had the interception.
Almost 2/3 of snaps.
Otherwise was not noticeable, right? But he played a lot at cornerback, which, without any injury, and there's been no major change to the personnel, means that either they like the matchup or they like something they saw in practice or they felt like there was some breakthrough. He went from not playing at all to playing more than 50% of the snaps. Whereas Jamin Davis has been going in the other direction, and that's with all the injuries. Like, I thought this week, in fact, if you go back and pull the audio from last week, when they had the injury to Dorrance Armstrong, who was going to miss, was ruled out on Friday, and Baptiste was put on IR, we both kind of said, okay, it's going to be a lot of Fowler on passing downs. It's going to be plenty of F.A. Obata on running downs, but Jamin Davis is going to get one last crack at this thing.
He was probably my answer to who steps up, if you recall. We did that last week in the absence of Allen and Armstrong and company, meaning he's going to have a chance to play because there's nobody in front of him. Well, I guess now there's no team in front of him. I mean, that's the end. That is wild.
Where are you on discussing the old Rivera draft history? Because I think there's two camps whenever I do that. One is, who cares, move on, it's in the past.
Oh, no.
I just can't get there yet. I need everyone to remember. Number one, because they screamed at me about how we should all just trust Ron constantly. You know, the same people. Now, this time, hopefully they're right, you know, that are in love with Dan and everything that's going on now. Before that, they were all in love with Ron for the first year, and they were in love with everyone that had been brought in. And, you know, so this one's better, I think. You know, this situation's better. But the next guy they'll love, too. You know, you could hire Darris or me as defensive coordinator, and they'll tell you why we're going to be awesome as long as we wear the right colors.
Grant's like, we're going to ride violently. Right. We're going to dictate to offenses. They're going to feel us.
I don't play that game. You know, I'm a critical thinker. I can't just get in line and clap like a seal. But I will tell you that when I look at that draft history in 10 years, it'll still piss me off. Because it's just there's a difference between an inexact science and not being very good at it, and very obviously having no clue. They had no clue in that building. And we had to sit here and watch it for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us knew it every step of the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, I want time back. I want energy and effort and money and some of the voice that I lost that I'll never get back into this microphone.
Mm-hmm.
What a stupid operation this was for so long.
No question.
With no proven general managing chops in the building and just being told that the poop was fertilizer. You know, just being told that the wet stuff was rain. Oh,
yep.
So frustrating.
Yeah, and I think it's for me partly because I hold grudges and I don't forgive very well. But a big part of it for me about wanting to revisit it is when I said so at the time, oh, did I catch some Eric Flack?
Yeah, you care way more about the personal part of it.
Right. When I get whenever I'm correct and I get screamed at and I don't get my apologies, like everybody who ever said anything, yeah, when I was like, this is the incorrect pick, which it was, I was correct then. And then the next day I was walking around just correct. All the days from that day till this, just strutting around like McMahon in the circle of right. I'm wrong all the time, and when I am, I say so. You were all wrong. Everybody who raised their voice at me, put a finger up, or did a crying emoji, or whatever the hell you were doing, I want that. And so that's why I revisit it.
I totally get that.
That's why I do that.
I've worked with you long enough. I know
and
that.
And you
that's
know that.
How
yeah,
you
we
roll.
Know each other. Yeah.
And I will say this: this is not even a knock on you, because you do it both ways. You also love to do the, here's the thing I got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about that. To me, like, no one cares about your fantasy team. Mm-hmm. Like, your obsession with your scorecard, so to speak, on your calls, I respect that you are willing to say when you get it right or wrong. To me, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Now to the more important thing, the football team. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And it's just, God, it's so maddening.
Yes, it is.
That's the bill of goods you were sold for some time.
Yep.
And that run in the first round.
Yeah, I need
is so embarrassing.
I need the professionals who are paid to do that. I need them to know before I do. You see what I'm saying? Just whatever it is, whatever and whatever it is, they get millions to do the job effectively. When I can go over here, not making millions, by the way, that was wrong. And then 2 years later, a year later, 6 months later, however much later, turns out that I was right. That can never happen. That's reprehensible.
The final draft of that era, Emmanuel Forbes at 16 overall.
Wrong.
He's getting back on the field now over the street free agents that they bring in. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Quan Martin is actually a player who mm-hmm. they drafted in the second round. I'm going to give them a win there. Stromberg in the third round. Braden Daniels in the fourth round. KJ Henry in the fifth round. Chris Rodriguez and Andre Jones in the late rounds. None of those guys may ever do anything meaningful for this football team. The year before that, Dotson in the first round, no longer on the roster. I mean, that's really where you start the convo, by the way. The first round picks of Forbes, Dotson, Jamin Davis, and then Chase Young, which was disastrous. Now, Young, we can look back at and say they should have gone quarterback, but that pick in and of itself, I give them a little more grace on because everybody thought he was the real deal. Every draft analyst, every team in America would have taken that guy at number two if they had a quarterback. The problem was Washington didn't have a quarterback. And that's why the pick was bad. But otherwise, you just look at some of the decisions they made. Oh, I could work myself into a frenzy if we start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the news of the day is that Jamin Davis, who the team drafted 19th overall, was released today. And in a symbolic gesture, I think a apropos kind of course it happened this way. They did it in a tweet. Like, no one even broke the story. Think about that. No one was tipped off by an agent. No national reporter cared enough about it. Just like some dude on the back of the roster who's no longer on the team. They sent a tweet from their account saying, "We've cut Sheldrick Redwine and Jamin Davis."
You know, just two players.
That's what they thought of Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
Sheldrick Redwine got cut. Who are the guy they signed to the practice squad that I've never heard of and probably will never hear of? You know, we signed Jeremiah Tittle to the practice squad. And by the way, we cut Jamin Davis. Wait, go back to the second one. What did you just say? Yeah, I don't know if you heard. We cut Sheldrick Redwine. We signed Jeremiah Tittle to the practice squad. We cut Jamin Davis. And then we signed Danny Hua to the practice squad.
Wait, huh?
What'd you say about Jamin Davis?
There was a big one in there. My buddy used to do that.
They're just trying to fit it right in the middle.
My buddy would do that with trade offers. He would name like three scrubs. He'd be like, "You just give me, you know, I don't know, just give me like Mahomes, and I'll just give you." And I'm like, "Wait, what? You can't just
a bit." I would do with my wife. Like, "What are your plans on Saturday?" "Yeah, I want to. You know, we could go to the store in the morning. We'll get the garage cleaned out. I want to go to the Caps game at 7, and then we'll make sure that we clean out the refrigerator." She's like, "Did you say you're going to the Caps game on Saturday?
What? What's that? What did you say?"
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Wow. All right, let's see what the people think. We'll get your reactions next. Breaking news on the Fan today. Jamin Davis cut by the Commanders. It's a new day. They're better, and they continue to clean house. 5-2, and they don't need the old players that can't help them from the last regime. And Davis is the latest one to hit the chopping block. This is the Fan.